Hey, before we begin, I'd like to announce that my new book, A Princess of the East, is available. It's a simple English fantasy novel ideal for non-native English readers, people who struggle with reading, or anyone who likes stories of adventure. Check it out in the links included in the description. Also, if you like this episode's content, subscribe, comment, and so on, because it helps us to make more stuff. Thanks. It seems like every now and then some band or musician will decide that the attention they're getting isn't quite at the level they want it to be. So they get desperate and they do something to create controversy. Usually this involves dressing up like the devil or something similar. And this tactic is nothing new. In fact, people have been doing it for decades. Well, today on English Through History, we'll try to find out where all this began with a history of shock rock. Now, before we get started, after deciding to tackle this topic, I learned that it was a little more complicated than I first thought, because what classifies as shock rock is pretty subjective. You could argue that rock music, by its very nature, is shocking. From the moment Elvis Presley first began swaying his hips, people were shocked by rock. According to Wikipedia, technically, Jimi Hendrix, who lit his guitar on fire during the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967, could be considered shock rock. But that just doesn't really sound right to me. So, just like in my episode on zombies, I find myself forced to define a culturally created concept. Now, I'm not going to go as deep as I did with my definition of zombies, but here's what I came up with. Shock rock is music that comes from a band or artist whose primary draw is shocking or offending acts. And for this reason, I'm not going to cover bands like Slayer or Cannibal Corpse because while many would find their song content offensive, to me it seems like more of an acknowledgement of their fan base rather than an attempt to draw outside attention. I suppose you could argue that all shock rock bands do this to some extent, but anyway, it's my decision. So that being said, shock rock is a pretty fluid term. There have been some bands or musicians that did not start out as shock rock, but later turned into shock rock acts, and then later lost their shock rock status once they became more culturally accepted by the mainstream. We'll see some examples of this a little bit later. Anyway, where did all this begin? Well, although it's arguable whether this act would be considered rock, the earliest example that I have goes back to the 1950s and Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Hawkins is best known for the song I Put a Spell on You, and during his performances, he would do things like emerge from coffins, employ props like skulls or snakes in his concerts. I don't think Hawkins really attempted to offend people with his act, but this sort of performance was definitely something that had not been done before, and as we'll see, it really set the mold for what would come after. Now, after Hawkins was Screaming Lord Sutch. Born as David Edward Sutch, Lord Sutch got into the world of music in 1963. He was inspired by Hawkins, as you can tell by the name, and his music and performances had themes of vampires, graveyards, even Jack the Ripper. In addition, he had a knack for political satire as well, and often ran for parliament under his own party, the Official Monster Raving Loony Party. Well, next we had The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Yes, that's the band's name. Look, this was the 1960s before people had really figured out band names, okay? Anyway, the eponymous Arthur Brown was notable for his flaming helmet. Yes, I really mean that. He wore a metal helmet that was on fire. But he also used other costume aspects, such as masks or makeup, that made his face sort of resemble a skull. And as for lyrics, well, he's best known for proclaiming himself as the Lord of Hellfire. So there you go. Now, After Arthur Brown was a major contributor to popularizing shock rock, Alice Cooper. Now, Cooper, which was the name of the band, but also the name of the singer, had a bit of a step-by-step transition into shock rock. Originally, the band's name was called Naz, but they learned that there was already a band with that name, so they changed their name to Alice Cooper. Now, the idea was that it had a wholesome girl-next-door sound to it, which certainly was not what their band was about. And now, Cooper claimed that his look was inspired by the movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. But if you just look at the top hat and corpse-like makeup that he began to use later on, you can absolutely see the influence of Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Arthur Brown. But what really made Alice Cooper change to full-on shock rock was the chicken incident. Now, according to Cooper, he expected to throw the chicken above the audience, at which point it would fly away, but somehow he never learned that chickens can't fly. So instead, the chicken fell into the audience and got returned back on stage in pieces. Well, thankfully, there was no more animal cruelty in Cooper's shows, but in the 1970s, the band's performances involved stage acts with mock executions, guillotines being used to behead baby dolls, and more. And he became popular enough to bring shock rock into the mainstream. Okay, now, so far, most of our shock rockers, they have shared a few things in common. They all had some kind of props, be it makeup, guillotines, or flaming helmets. But around this time, a different kind of shock rock act was also drawing attention: Iggy Pop. Now, Mr. Pop got the idea for his act from watching The Doors, the band, not the entryway, and their frontman, Jim Morrison, who himself was known for his outrageous and provocative behavior. Well, Pop decided to take that to the next level. He was known for public nudity, cutting himself on stage, taking drugs with dogs, yes, you heard that correctly, and more. He's credited for popularizing stage diving and is considered by many to be one of the founders of punk. Now, thankfully for him, more people remember his stage performances than what is probably his most shocking act, which is having a relationship with, at the time, 13-year-old groupie Sable Starr. But music fans aren't supposed to remember that. I should also mention around this time, bands like Black Sabbath and Coven, who we mentioned in our Sign of the Horns episode, began making music. And while their work was transgressive for the time, I'm not going to count them on our list. Anyway, according to Loudersound.com, the 1970s saw a big increase in the amount of shock rock bands, such as Death SS or The Mentors. But probably the most influential shock rock act in pop culture at this time was Kiss. Now, some people might argue that Kiss wasn't really shocking enough to be considered shock rock. Most of their acts involved pyrotechnics and the like. But they did dress up in black and white makeup that sort of resembled that used by Arthur Brown and Alice Cooper, especially Gene Simmons, also mentioned in our Sign of the Horns episode, who dressed as a demon, breathed fire, and would spit fake blood during performances. There was also the time that they actually made a comic book using blood from the band members in its red ink. I think that's close enough for shock rock. But the important thing is that Kiss was a hugely popular band, one of the most popular bands of all time, according to some. And if you want any sources to back that up, just type it into any search engine. So what happened is that Kiss took this style of music performance by Screamin' Jay Hawkins and popularized by Alice Cooper and then catapulted it into the mainstream. But for every Alice Cooper, there's an Iggy Pop. And while Kiss was gaining fame with their makeup and pyrotechnics, the Plasmatics was gaining fame with mohawks and Exploding Cars. Now, this punk band was fronted by Wendy O. Williams, who was known for public indecency, sawing through guitars with chainsaws, and jumping out of explosive-laden vehicles just before detonation. If that isn't rock, I don't know what is. So, by the 80s, shock rock was pretty well established, and you had a handful of bands using this style in their music, acts such as Merciful Fate or Lizzie Borden. But probably the most notable historic contribution to shock rock that to come out of the 80s was GWAR. Now, GWAR stands for God, What an Awful Racket. And they really took shock rock to the next level. They didn't just stop with makeup and stage props. They had full-on costumes and even a complete sci-fi story behind their on-stage personas. See, the idea behind GWAR is that they're aliens from another planet who want to enslave mankind or something. I don't know. I never really got into GWAR that much, so I'm not totally sure. But again, they definitely took things to a new level with live performances that showered audience members with fake blood and other fake bodily fluids. Actually, they were banned from the state of North Carolina once due to a giant prosthetic phallus known as the cuttlefish of Cthulhu. And if you want to know more about prosthetics and Cthulhu, we have episodes on both of those. No episodes on cuttlefish yet. Anyway, apparently GWAR also had a movie called Phallus in Wonderland. And on the non-costume side of things is G.G. Allin. So Allin had been around for a while at this point, around 1977 to be exact, but it was during the 80s when his on-stage punk performances changed to shock rock. Allin's shtick? Well, he had a thing for emptying his bowels on stage, in addition to his Iggy Pop inspired self-mutilation. Now, Allin isn't nearly as famous as some of the others on this list, but he is worth mentioning. Well, after GWAR and Allin, the world had pretty much seen it all. Now, shock rock was still popular, but none of it really did anything too new. The 90s saw lots of new acts, but not a whole lot of these rose to prominence, except for a few notable ones like Slipknot, or maybe not shock rock according to our definition, Rammstein. There was even the Insane Clown Posse, who, well, actually rappers, not rockers, use quite a few shock rock themes in their work. That being said, there were two shock rock incidents of note during the 90s. The first was the beginning of Norwegian black metal. Now, this probably deserves its own episode, but this style of music started around this time, largely due to the band Mayhem. Okay, so at the beginning of this episode, I said that I wasn't going to include groups like Slayer, since they're more of a subgenre, paying tribute to a subculture. But Mayhem, well, I have to mention them. You see, for a lot of the bands that we're covering today, when you get past all the makeup and explosions, they're just ordinary people like you and me. Well, maybe not that guy that pooped on stage, but Mayhem, accurately named, was the real deal. They were responsible for actual arson and burning down historic churches in Europe. They injured a fan by throwing a sheep head into the audience. One member, named Dead, actually took his own life, and another member, named Euronymous, found the body and sent pieces of the skull to his friends. Now, in case you think this is an urban legend, I actually tracked down evidence of this. It turns out an auction site called Serial Killers Inc. auctioned off a letter that Euronymous wrote to a friend with a piece of Dead's skull attached. So, fact check, true. Now, if you're horrified by the actions of Euronymous, well, so were his fellow musicians, one of whom ended up killing him. Well, if you think nothing could top GWAR, there you have it. But while Norwegian black metal increased in popularity over the decades, almost becoming mainstream, that's right, I said it, it thankfully didn't involve much in the way of actual crime. So the other notable shock rock act to come out of the 90s was Marilyn Manson. So this is both the name of the band and also the name of the singer who fashioned the name from two notable and very different figures from American culture. And wait, isn't that basically the same thing as Alice Cooper? Okay, well, anyway, Manson's shtick was less horror-themed than Alice Cooper and more anti-religion-themed. But really, there wasn't too much of note to Manson's act, as none of it was particularly new or original at this point. And yet, for some reason, he skyrocketed in popularity. Why? Well, I think he was just in the right place at the right time. You see, Manson came at a time between the grunge era of music and Britney Spears. So his act kind of stood out. At least that's my theory. Well, after the 90s, the face of music kind of changed. But by this time, we'd pretty much seen everything. Yeah, sure, every now and then some artist will try to incite controversy, but it's not really central to their identities. Some of the classics, like Gwar, Alice Cooper, and Iggy Pop, are still around, and there are some newer acts like The Dwarves, Ghost, or Ice Nine Kills who base their acts off of those whom we spoke about earlier. So, while shock rock might not be so shocking in this day and age, it continues to be an influence in the music we listen to. So, the next time some whiny kid musician tries to incite controversy, remember, Screamin' Jay Hawkins beat him to it decades ago. Hey, that's it. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to leave a comment about how I forgot to mention your favorite band, and I'll see you next time.